You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? Yes, I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we come to you live at this time every Monday through Friday. And also, don't forget about our Sunday night show that airs from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the Left Coast. And we hope you're able to tune in and join us, but if you can't, we always post the archives up at thecommonsenseshow.com, and that's our flagship website, which, by the way, we're close to having a revision done, a redoing, where we have, I understand, a much more accessible live listen coming, and I've got Daniel Clausen as my webmaster, and he is first rate. This guy just does a bang-up job, and so we are going to be airing this soon. I'm hoping it's within a week, and we're getting ready to announce some new affiliations with people we're partnering with regard to the show, so stay tuned for that exciting news as well, too. Well, today, we have on one of my very, very good friends, one of my favorite people in the independent media, and he's also responsible for me walking upright. And if you said, oh, I bet he's talking about Dr. Ted, you would be right. And Dr. Ted Brewer has been kind enough to join me on our weekday show for the first time, and we're really glad to have him on. So, Ted, welcome to the show. Thanks for staying on the hour after your show. We're doing a back-to-back here.
Absolutely, Dave. I'm looking forward to doing the show today with a lot of information. We had an expert coming in on magnesium chloride today, and so he did about 45 minutes of the show with me, because I only had about 10 minutes to do the news and the current events. So I told everybody I was going to wait and do all of this on your show, so everybody stay tuned and listen to your show. Let me tell you about my friend Dave Hodges and my friend Doug Hagman. I've got a real short list of people that I trust implicitly, and Dave and Doug are on that list. I mean, these people are the ones that have my back, that basically protect me, defend me, and just support everything that we do. Dave has the dubious distinction of having his joints repaired, his knees repaired for me, and Doug with his blood sugar, so we've kind of bonded with that. But the truth of the matter is this. I'm not saying that everything I tell you or everything I project or everything that we hope that's going to happen or doesn't happen or all the news that we give you is 100% accurate all the time, because we're always dealing with different sources which may or may not be right. But the thing about I know about Dave and Doug also is that we're going to give you the best information we possibly can. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But we don't have any hidden agendas. We're not trying to, promote stuff from an obfuscation standpoint, because we're on the government payroll. We're not doing that. And if you listen to my show, you know I'm not. And I guarantee you know that Dave's not and Doug's not. So there are a lot of people out there now in the alternative news media that really may or may not have your best interest in heart. And the reason for that is some of these guys give out a lot of disinformation. And that's not something we do here on my show or on Dave Hodges' show or on the Hagman show. And if we ever do miss something or not get something quite right, it may have been because we had a bad source, but it wasn't because we intentionally did something, Dave. And I want to qualify that real quick while I started on the air with you today.
Well, I appreciate that. And my list of people that I try to let into my inner circle is really short. We live in really a duplicitous world. And, there's all kinds of infiltrators that infiltrate our operations. I've exposed some of this with the BizOp ads that the federal government runs, where they actually advertise for people to infiltrate the independent media, for people who will be actors in false flag crises. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So they do want to infiltrate us. So people, if you want any more proof of that, I mean, just consider this. On Sunday night, when I tried to interview Ammon Bundy, his communications went down and my communications went down at the same time in most unusual ways. So we are being infiltrated, and sometimes they send people to us to infiltrate us as well. And the other side likes to grab criminals and turn them over and put them to work in our industry. And we don't talk about these people publicly because we don't want to give them any acknowledgement or any more attention than they deserve. But there are trusted sources you can go to, and we hope that you do trust my show. We hope that the general public does trust Ted's show and Doug Hagman's show, and trust the word of Steve Quayle and Sheila Zielinski and people who I really admire. You know, my health reporter, Katie Whelan, has been a true blessing. So when we look at, as we go forward, folks, I think here's how you can tell the truth. And correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, Ted. I think that if I were someone not working in this industry and I was just a connoisseur of information trying to figure things out so I could make life decisions, I would look for common threads between Hagman, Hodges, Froehr, whoever it would be. I would look for common threads in these themes, and then I would say, I got kind of a good idea. And I think when people say, I'm not so sure if this information is right, you know, it's really outside the norm and outside the ordinary, and you're not hearing other independent media people talk about this, I think that's when you really have to question the source. It might be a well-intentioned broadcaster or writer who got a bad source. That happens to all of us at some time. Or it could be someone who has a hidden agenda. So, Ted, I'm so glad you brought this up because it's a subject near and dear to my heart. And this industry, friends, are very, very special because there's not a whole lot of people that I feel like I can really open up to.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dave. I feel the same way about you and Doug. And the truth of the matter is, you know, whenever you see people trying to cause division among the brethren, you know, as far as us now, and when I mean the brethren, I'm not just talking about Christians. I'm talking about the patriot community. I mean, this is a very small group of people that's very, very open-minded, very responsive, very resolute in their beliefs and their actions. Anybody who can listen to my show or Dave's show or Doug's show, we're not normal. I mean, normal means you're 65-year-old and broke in the United States, financially dependent on outside income source. Normal means you're running off the cliff with the other lemmings. We don't do that here. We tell you the truth. I mean, I tell you the truth about what Obama's cancer protocols are going to do now as far as trying to cure cancer and all the nonsense and the obfuscation from that. It's all a bunch of mainstream lies that is owned by this Rothschild banking cartel syndicate of crime is what it is. And they're running the media, they're running the commercials, they're running the everything. And the sad part about it is the vast majority of the people in America don't know the truth. Everybody else in the world knows about chemtrails except for the United States, and nobody wants to talk about it. And this Sunday night, by the way, Dave, I'm doing a full show on chemtrails, HARP, and all these different weapons systems, and I'm going to be doing it before your show on Sunday night. So everybody's listening to that. At this show, you need to tune in an hour early on Sunday night. Dave, let's start on a thing that came from Zero Hedge. It says, even as Obama takes his anti-gun crusade to new highs with every passing week, having recently stated and started dispensing executive orders, the president conveniently continues to ignore the state of affairs in his native Chicago, a city in which guns are banned, yet where the shooting epidemic has never been worse, and is truly emblematic of the gun problem America has. Judging by the most recent developments, Obama will have nothing to say about Chicago gun violence either during last night's State of the Union, which he did not, or ever for matter, because the recent developments are downright disastrous. 120 people have been shot in the first 10 days of 2016 in Chicago, Dave. Crazy.
That's, well, we've seen this before, and many in the independent media have reported on this. The three cities with the most stringent gun control legislation, New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C., have the highest homicide rates by firearm. And that's no coincidence. If someone thinks that, gee, this guy's house I'm breaking into, he has a gun, or some guy that I'm going to carjack, he has a gun, it makes people think twice. This is why the crime rate is lower, where the gun ownership rates are higher, Ted.
Well, no, you're exactly right. In fact, you can actually call Glock up, G-L-O-C-K, the handgun company, and they'll send you these little 4-inch decals of a picture of a gun that says Glock. And what I do is I have all of those Glock stickers installed on all of my cars, on both sides of the cars, and on the rear window, so that anybody who walks up to the car knows that whoever's driving that car probably has a Glock. Now, I carry a Kimber instead of a Glock, but that's because of the I don't care for the Glock safety system. It's a good system, but you need to have it holstered and not pocket carrying it. But I remember a couple of months ago, I was driving in Winter Haven. Oh, and I had some guy behind me just going berserk on road rage, and he jumps out of his truck, no less, and he comes running up to my car, and as soon as he sees the gun sticker on the side window, he just calms right down. And see, this is what people need to realize. Guns stop crimes. Everybody realizes if you're putting a gun sticker on your car, and these are not just huge banners on your car. They're like 4-inch decals, right? And they're free. You get them from Glock. Just tell them to call Glock, and they'll mail them to you. And what's funny about this is guns have always been shown to be a preventive. A good defense is the best offense. And when people know that you're armed, Dave, you're exactly right. They're not going to go into your house. They're not going to break into your car. They're not going to bug you because they're afraid they're going to get shot. And that's what we need to realize in the United States. If we continue down this slippery slope of seizing the weapons. And on top of that, Obama's bringing all these hoodlums into the United States now, these radical jihadists that we've created because we bombed their countries in the rubble, and they hate us for doing that, and we probably killed most of their family members, and they want revenge on us. If he takes all of our guns away from us, how in the world are we supposed to defend ourselves against these crazy guys that are coming in that want to start all these terrorist activities, Dave?
Well, we're not. And, of course, what is it the FBI said? 10% of all Muslims are radicalized. So if you take the 25,000 they put in Louisiana about 6 weeks ago, that means that we admitted 2,500 Muslim terrorists, and it only took 7 Muslim terrorists to paralyze the city of Paris. So, I mean, I don't know what we're thinking with this refugee resettlement program. You're absolutely right. And I wrote an article where I said every American has the duty to conceal and carry because the government cannot protect you from terrorism. In fact, the government is making the problem worse. And in fact, Loretta Lynch wants to put you and I in prison, Ted, for speaking against this. And she wants to take away our First Amendment rights. So what option do Americans have? We need to pack. We need to be packing heat. So when we're in a position where all hell breaks loose, we're prepared to defend ourselves.
No, you're absolutely right, Dave. And the sad part about this is that, you know, most of the time, in the state of Florida changed the law. At one point in time, if you were about to get attacked and you pulled a gun on somebody, if you fired a warning shot, you went to jail for 3 years. I mean, it's the stupidest law we've ever had here. They finally changed that a few years ago. Now you're allowed to fire a warning shot in the state of Florida. I'm not talking about up in the air. You fire it towards the ground so you don't end up discharging a weapon that's going to land on somebody's, you know, a bullet's going to land on somebody's head. And so the reality is this. Florida crime rates have plummeted since we started carrying weapons. I mean, we literally have millions of people here in the state of Florida carrying guns, and our crime rates have plummeted. Years ago, I remember the man over, there was a man in St. Pete. He was robbing it was a diner. He went into this diner and he was wearing a trench coat and he had a sawed-off shotgun under the trench coat. And anytime you see somebody running around with a trench coat in Florida, it's not a good sign because it's so hot down here. But he walks into this diner with a trench coat and he puts this shotgun in the back of the waitress's, you know, head and tells her to open the safe. Like she had a combination board, right? And two guys simultaneously stood up. They're both retirees in the restaurant and opened fire on this guy. One of them missed the guy. The other guy basically shot the guy, hit him in the thoracic part of the back, paralyzing him. And then they interviewed the guy because, of course, the robbery immediately stopped, but the perpetrator wasn't dead. And the guy was interviewed after the shooting, and he said, well, do you have any regrets about shooting this guy? He goes, absolutely one thing. And they said, well, what's your regret? That I didn't have a larger caliber weapon that this guy got taken away while he was still alive. And, you know, this is what we need to realize. Career criminals are never going to turn their guns in, Dave. They're never going to do it. Now, the next article that I've got comes from Ted Cruz, and basically he skipped the vote on the Federal Reserve audit. This is from Gateway Pundit. After co-sponsoring Senator Rand Paul's Federal Reserve Transparency Act, Senator Ted Cruz was a no-show on Tuesday's vote on the bill. I personally believe this is because his wife was an executive with Goldman Sachs, and mm-hmm. Goldman Sachs is one of the banks that run and own the Federal Reserve. Dave, what do you think?
Well, you're absolutely right. I've been saying this for months when I've looked into the background of Ted Cruz. How can he be objective when most of his income is derived from ill-gotten gains of Goldman Sachs, the perpetrators of the Gulf oil spill? Someday we'll have to do a show on that, Ted. And all the malicious things they're involved in, all the crime, all the fraud. And his wife is a VP, and we're supposed to believe he's going to be objective in Congress, and God help us if he's ever president. Talk about opening the door and letting the wolf in, Ted.
Well, no, you're exactly right. In fact, there's something about him I don't care for. Plus, this Canadian being born in Canada and all this other kind of stuff, I mean, they're trying everything they can to finagle all of this to get it going, to get him into a position now, but his whole thing's going to pretty much be determined with New Hampshire and Iowa. If he doesn't do well, if Trump beats him in both those key states, he's done. And of course, the globalists, they wanted Bush in, but he's so disliked in the state of Florida, and he's so disliked nationally, and internationally because of his, the criminal crime syndicate he's from, his family, that there's no way, I don't believe he has a chance of getting this unless we had massive, massive, massive election fraud, or unless Trump brought him in as a vice president, and then God help him with that, because I remember when George Bush got to be vice president with Ronald Reagan was shot a couple months into office.
Yeah, exactly. So, Ted, we got to step aside for a break. We come back, I want to talk about Donald Trump. He's been really quiet lately, and I want to know why. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back at 2 and 2.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and to take advantage of this offer, just go to freefoldingknife.com. That's freefoldingknife.com, and you'll get this folding credit card knife for just one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally these are sold for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at freefoldingknife.com you can get one of these origami style folding credit card knives for just a penny. Limit one per order, please. So take advantage of it right now at freefoldingknife.com.
That is the coolest thing, free folding knife. Not even the TSA could catch that. So make sure you check out Mike Adams' product. Now, I want to tell you about my friend Steve Quayle. Do you still have your money in the bank? Do you still have the bulk of your money in the bank? Well, don't try to take the cash out. That'd be the most ridiculous thing you could do, because they'll arrest you for structuring, report you for suspicious activity reports. That's called an SAR. Don't do that. What you need to do, if you want to maintain the value of your retirement or your savings, you need to convert your cash into precious metals. This is a great time to buy, because the precious metals market is flat. Folks, it's going to pick up. It's going to pick up as we get into the campaign season. And if someone like Hillary Clinton or Ted Cruz becomes a front-running candidate, Katie, bar the door, because gold and silver will go through the roof. You've got to get yours now. And the best place to go is my friend Steve Quayle at Renaissance Precious Metals. And the way to get a hold of Steve is call him tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Again, Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals, 406-586-4842. Ted, since we're on the topic of presidential candidates like Ted Cruz, let's go over and look at the other side here of the Republican ticket and talk about Donald Trump. He has really been quiet lately. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Obama was taking a few stabs at him last night in the State of the Union address. Let me pull the story up real quick, and I want to kind of read this to you for just a second because, you know, this is out of Reuters. But again, I always take, and I mentioned this on my show earlier, I always take AP Wire and Reuters with a grain of salt because both of these are owned by the Rothschild banking cartel. And they're going to tell you what they want you to know is news, and they're going to spin it pretty much the way they want you to spin it. And whatever they say is news, they want it to be news. Anything else is not going to be news. But what it said was this: Obama knocks Trump, voices optimism in speech to set 2016 tone for the president. This is out of Reuters. Obama took aim on Tuesday at Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump and accused critics of playing into the hands of the Islamic State in a speech meant to cement his legacy and set a positive tone for this his final year in office and his final speech. Obama, delivering his last annual State of the Union speech to Congress as president, called for leaders to fix U.S. politics. God, this guy's so corrupt. And criticized candidates such as Trump for using anti-Muslim rhetoric that portrayed American values. When politicians insult Muslims, that doesn't make us safer, he said, drawing applause from the crowd in the House of Representatives. It's just wrong. It diminishes us in the eyes of the world, and it makes it harder to achieve our goals. Trump, whom Obama did not mention by name in his speech, is leading the Republican field ahead of the November 8th election to pick the next president. You know, the thing that Trump is doing, he's putting out an obvious, Dave, almost every single terrorist thing that's happened in the United States or globally has been done by Muslims.
Well, there's no question about that.
Barack Obama being a Muslim and praying in the White House five times a day to Mecca, he doesn't want to talk about his Muslims, and he doesn't want to believe they're capable of doing this. Now, I realize that not all Muslims are bad. Only 10% of them have been radicalized. But Donald Trump made an exact comment that I completely agree with, that until we can vet these people properly, we need to stop bringing these guys in if they're going to be doing jihad in our country.
Well, we should be vetting every immigrant that comes into the country, because whether it's someone from the Sinaloa Mexican drug cartel or someone from ISIS slipping in under the cover of the refugee resettlement program, we need to know who's coming in and what their background is. And if we can't vet them, they should not be in this country. It's our country, Ted. We don't have an obligation to take anyone in anywhere in the world to come into this country if they can't prove they're not a national security threat.
You're absolutely right. I have some friends of mine who have accounts over in Switzerland, bank accounts, and they told me when they went to Switzerland to just open up a bank account, Dave, that they had to fill out all these forms, all these custom declarations. They had to get full, you know, disclosure as to where the money had come from they were depositing in the accounts. Otherwise, the Swiss authorities didn't even want them in their country and didn't even want them making any deposits and certainly didn't want them opening up accounts. And see, that's just banking. I mean, but we bring them in to live with us. We bring them to live with us, and we don't even know who they are. Are you kidding me? And this is the biggest problem that we have. I mean, with the open borders in Mexico, with all the diseases that have come across the border, you know, with 30 million illegal Hispanics. But the craziest thing is this. I'd rather have the Hispanics come in than I would the Muslims, and here's why. At least the Hispanics, most of them were raised in a Christian environment with the Catholic Church. At least some of them try to be good people. Some of them really come into this country to really work hard. In most cases, these Muslims, they're diametrically opposed to Christian values in the founding of this country and how this country was founded as far as the Christian fathers. They don't have any interest in that. They hate Christians, and if you don't want to convert to Islam, they'd soon kill you. I mean, this is a group of people that have been trained under Sharia law who are basically here for only one reason, because they're getting free stuff and because they got a free air ticket over here. And sadly, our government leaders, especially Barack Obama, allows this to happen. In fact, I even was watching some videos the other night, Dave. Whether they're true or not, I don't know. They're actually being brought in under the cloak of darkness in giant transport airplanes and being able to go through customs and not even be checked. Are you kidding me? Who are these people and what are they doing in the United States? And why do we want them here? And how are they possibly going to help the U.S.?
You know, it's really easy to become conspiratorial with this. But let's back up to what you said about the Mexican population or OTMs, other than Mexicans coming from Central America. You're right. Most of them that come here, they want a piece of the American pie. They want to work for what they get. Most of them are industrious, and I don't have an issue with them except for their method of entry, which is illegal. They should be coming in the right way, is what I submit, and we should still be doing background checks on people. But you're absolutely right. No Mexican who's Catholic has ever told me, Dave, you can't be a Lutheran. If you practice Lutheranism, I'm going to chop your head off. But if you look at people in the radicalized Muslim community and they invoke Sharia law, they think that their right to Sharia law supersedes my constitutional rights to be a Christian. And that is unacceptable, to be letting people in with those views into this country.
No, you're absolutely right. And see, that's why if we can fix this stupid immigration policy, you know, we can fix it. But as far as Donald Trump saying he wants to build a fence across Mexico to stop this illegal immigration, I agree with him. I mean, this should have been done a long, long time ago. I mean, they had started it, then they stopped it. But it needs to be manned and guarded. I mean, if you put a sentry position every quarter of a mile, and you were using infrared seekers and searches and stuff on there, you'd have no problem with any of this. But the sad part about it is, you know, it's these people that are running these human trafficking rings that are bringing them into the country, smuggling them in, and a lot of them are dying trying to come in. We got to fix the immigration policy, and we got to realize that we can't fix the whole planet. We're in the same situation now that Europe is in. We have Germany now has become the rape capital of Europe, Cologne in particular, Frankfurt in particular. I was there a few months ago, and they told me that Frankfurt had become the rape capital of Germany, and that they were literally getting dozens and dozens of rapes on an ongoing basis from these immigrants that were coming in. They were basically looking at these women who weren't covering up with veils, and they were considering them to be whores, and they were just raping them and beating them and leaving them, which is what their Sharia law says they can do. This is insanity. Somebody needs to give them a dictionary or teach them how to read that this isn't okay in Germany. And Angela Merkel is going to go down as probably the worst president that Germany ever had. But again, remember, she doesn't care about Germany. She was raised in Eastern Germany under communist rule. They were taught to hate the West Germans. She doesn't care what she does to the country, just like Hitler didn't care what he did to the country. Hitler was willing to destroy the entire country to further his agenda. And sadly, all of this, Dave, goes back to the simple thing that people don't realize, that when you start mixing cultures together and you start forcing this integration like this in such a rapid pace, they simply don't have time to adapt, and you're going to have all of this problems, especially with the raping and the killing and the jihad. I mean, this thing's just absolutely nuts, David.
Well, it is, and it's done deliberately. The Obama administration is trying to ferment discord and violence in this country, They did the same thing with Ferguson. They did the same thing with Baltimore and the race riots. And why would Obama want violence within the United States? He wants a pretext to invoke martial law and take our guns, plain and simple.
No, you're absolutely right. This is just straight Cloward Piven all the way across the board. He wants a communist state. He said it again last night with his ridiculous rhetoric about how the top 1% controls almost everything. The problem is the top 1% are the ones who put him in power. These are the Bilderberger people that did all this. But he wants us to make us think that the Joe Smo down the road who opened up a lawn care business or opened up an air conditioning business are the ones who are the enemy. And they're the ones everybody should be angry at because they drive a nice car and they live in a nice home. We have nothing to do with any of that. The people that have made a little bit of money on this in the United States or have become a little bit of notoriety, it has nothing to do with us. These are the globalists, Dave, that are running this country. They're the ones that control the money. This is the Rothschild banking cartel he forgot to talk about. These are the people that run the major institutions like Goldman Sachs and Ted Cruz's wife. These are the people that get paid these huge salaries and these huge bonuses. And, of course, they're being told what to do through the Bilderbergers and all of the stuff at Bohemian Grove. But nobody ever mentions any of that nonsense. If Donald Trump would get on TV and start talking about Bohemian Grove, he'd get my attention.
I'm not holding my breath. You know, we can start on this topic, but we're going to probably have to continue it afterwards. I mistrust the Trump agenda, and I'm really sorry to say that, because he's a man that I wished I could put my whole heart and soul behind. And right now, if I had to vote today, and if I thought voting was worth my time, I would probably vote for Trump. But I have to tell you, folks, here's a man who's hobnobbed with the Clintons. They've gone to each other's private affairs, their weddings and so forth. And he's hobnobbed with all the elite. So all of a sudden, he's starting to talk like an independent media talk show host that's catering to the middle class, particularly those of Christian values. That would be Ted Brewer, Dave Hodges, Doug Hagman, etc. That just doesn't sit with me, Ted. It's out of character for a man of his background.
Well, you know, it's like I talked about on your show a few weeks ago, Dave. You know, John F. Kennedy had an epiphany when his PT boat got shot down from underneath him, you know, and it sank and he was out on that island for a week. You know, he wrote Profiles of Courage, or at least they believe that he wrote it. Some people say he didn't, but that doesn't matter. It's still his story. And he went full throttle against the globalists. And maybe Trump's had an epiphany. Maybe he realized he's made enough money, but the United States that he made the money in is being destroyed, and he realizes that now. I'm like you. If I had to vote right now, I'd vote for Donald Trump. My God, anybody but Hillary Clinton. But of course, Bernie Sanders is coming to, actually starting to catch her in some of the polls now. I think they're beginning to realize what an unbelievable lame duck candidate she would be to start with, and how nobody's going to vote for her anyhow. So I don't personally think she'll be able to get the White House nomination. I hope Bernie Sanders gets it, because God, I don't want to have her on the ballot. I don't want to have to look at her during the debates.
Well, this is why politics is like horse races, because everybody has a different opinion about who's going to win. Right now, I would put my money on Hillary. It's not that she's not guilty of the email fraud in Benghazi and left a trail of bodies coming into the White House with her pretend husband, Bill. She has done all those things, and you can prove it. The problem is, Ted, and this is the big problem, is that Loretta Lynch Mob is the attorney general, and as long as Hillary Clinton holds stead with the global elite, Loretta Lynch Mob is not going to touch her, and she can kill all the prosecution.
No, you're right, but right now the poll is showing that Bernie Sanders actually widens his lead in Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire. This is the article that says Senator Bernie Sanders has widened his lead over Hillary Clinton in the New Hampshire Democratic primary to 14 points. According to a new poll out Tuesday, a Monmouth University survey finds the Vermont senator leading Clinton 53-39% in early voting state.
All right, for this week's Ranger Gear Review, did you know that hackers and government agencies can scan your RFID personal identity details through the air invisibly using an RFID scanner that reads the chips that are increasingly on driver's licenses, passports, and credit cards? Merely by walking near an RFID scanner, which may be hidden, by the way, you can have your personal identity details stolen without your knowledge or consent. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I launched Ranger Gear to be able to offer solutions for problems just like this. We came up with RFID blocking sleeves that interfere with RFID scanning attempts and block them so that no one can steal information off your credit cards, driver's licenses, or passports. You just slip any credit card or passport into one of these sleeves, and it immediately blocks the RFID scanning. It can't get through it. It's like a bulletproof vest against RFID signals. These RFID blocking sleeves are infinitely reusable, they're durable, they're portable, lightweight, almost weigh nothing, and you have to use them now when you travel to protect your identity and your personal security as well. We've got them on sale now, a pack of 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. All of them block RFID 100%. They're available now 10% off by using discount code DAVE at rangergear.com. Again, just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com and you'll save 10% off this RFID blocking sleeve pack, which contains 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. I really can't emphasize this enough. Anywhere that you travel right now, if you have these RFID chips embedded in your cards or passports, you are being scanned and tracked without your knowledge. But you can block that using these RFID blocking sleeves right now. Rangergear.com. Use discount code DAVE to save 10% today.
Well, my thanks to my good friend Ted Brower for taking us into the break. Yours truly, my connection to our satellite provider got knocked down again. And I just wonder, it's just so bizarre, so coincidental, when we're cutting to the heart of the Hillary Clinton presidency run, that this would happen, just like Ammon Bundy, and it's just, you know, on and on and on. But you know what? I do come equipped with multiple backups. So we are going to go ahead and look at continuing with multiple backups in the foreseeable future, because it looks like that's what we're going to have to do. Anyway, I want to tell you about my friend Bob Griswold, and I'll tell you more here a little later in the show about him, because his show material was up on my computer that's no longer functioning. But anyway, my friend Bob Griswold sells everything in survival supplies, and I mean everything. He's got a live chat line. You don't have to interact with him on the phone, so there's no chance of high-pressure sales, but he'll consult with you about what your needs are. You say, hey, Bob, I'm concerned about this or that. You know, say, hey, well, I got a product right here. I got a special on this. And I really, I tell you, he's the easiest guy to work with. He's a guy I go to for my survival needs. ReadyMadeResources.com. And there's a chat line there. And he's got a full range of everything from Berkey water filters to night vision, solar generators, you name it. He's got it. ReadyMadeResources.com. Well, Ted, sorry about my sudden disappearance there. You know what's really bizarre, and I didn't mention this on the air the other day, and I probably should for our listening audience. After we got knocked off the air when we attempted to interview Ammon Bundy, and his communications were taken down as well, Ted, I think you'll really appreciate this. I'm speaking on the phone with Sheila, who was also knocked off the air about 5 minutes prior to me being knocked off. And as I'm speaking to her on the phone, she says, Dave, why are you sending me these text messages? And they were nonsensical. And I said, Sheila, I'm talking to you. I'm not texting you. And she goes, Dave, you're texting me. And I said, just a minute, Sheila. And I pulled up my text and put her on speakerphone. And I'm looking at my text messages. And someone was writing text messages from my phone that were going to her phone. And I was watching it happen. I have never seen that before, Ted.
You know, Dave, we live in a very strange world with a lot of strange people doing a lot of strange things. That's all I can say. I mean, the reality is, you know, they're going to attack everybody. Remember, the haters are always going to hate, and the people that do the things that are bad are going to always be bad. But let's go back to the economy and business if we can real quick. Here's an interesting article from CNN. It says that $1 trillion has been erased from stocks so far in 2016. That's incredible. $1 trillion. People don't realize that over 100 Chinese stocks are traded on the New York Stock Exchange every single day, and a lot of people don't understand that when Chinese stocks drop off real hard, it drops our stocks real hard. You think this market's going to come back, Dave? You think it's going to keep going down for the rest of the year?
I don't see it coming back without a reset or a debt repudiation.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that we got a major problem unless the bank cartel that's running the planet decides that they're going to start printing more and more money in dollars in their off-book balance sheets like they've already done, and just keep pumping it into their member banks to keep pushing the market up and not tell us that they're getting the money. They could do that. They don't have to disclose that. They proved that when they were asked under oath where I think it was $13 trillion or $19 trillion had gone to. And Bernanke says he didn't know. He said it just went out and that he'd have to get back with him on that. Was that $13 trillion or $19 trillion, Dave? I don't remember.
You know, I don't remember either. But, you know, what's a trillion here or there when you've got Obama as your president?
That's true. Okay. Let's go back to the Obama lies if you want to, and we can talk about what happened in the State of the Union line, unless you want to talk about other stuff. But it doesn't matter to me.
No, I think this is great. Let's stay on point here with the State of the Union.
Yeah, this is interesting. I pulled this out of Breitbart, and he has 1.5 million likes, so he's a big news organization. Here's what I love, the first one. We've done all this while cutting our deficits by almost three quarters. And it goes on to say, this is pure fiction. Obama has doubled the national debt. And not because he cut the deficit, rather he spent staggering amounts of money in his first months in office, which he assigns dishonestly to the previous fiscal year under George W. Bush. He cut from that spending, but only under protest after Republicans took the House in 2010. So, I mean, what do you think about this, that we've cut our deficits by almost three quarters? I can't believe this guy could say this and not just be called liar, liar, pants on fire, Dave.
I know. I don't know how he maintains a straight face. And, you know, and I think he should be, and I'm going to digress here for a moment, forgive me, but I don't know how he can look at the American public and say, stop bashing Muslims. We're not. We're bashing Muslim extremists who want to do us harm. There's a big difference. And he's got Muslim Brotherhood people serving in the White House. And if you don't believe me, folks, I know you believe me, but if you want more proof of that, go to the commonsenseshow.com website, and I want you to look there. And boy, you hear that interference? I'm getting DOS attacked right here. But I want you to look at this article that I wrote about Muslim Brotherhoods in the White House. Put that in the search engine. Ted?
You're absolutely right. In fact, we've got so many folks that are in key administration positions right now that are not Christians. And, you know, you say, well, everybody doesn't have to be a Christian. Okay, I got that. Okay, I wasn't a Christian until I was 23 years old. I got it. You don't have to be a Christian to be in the government. In fact, nowadays it's almost mutually exclusive. You pretty much can't be a Christian and go along with what they do anymore. It's ridiculous. But the sad part about it is there has to be some type of value system, Dave. There has to be something that people are going to say, I don't agree with this or I don't agree with that, and stand firm. I mean, Rand Paul and Ron Paul were the only two that really stood out from among all the people in Congress and the Senate. And when I was in Washington last year and we were up there talking to the congressmen and the senators and lobbying their aides and everything else, they told me that there were only about 18 people in the House that actually were on our side that actually cared about the conservative agenda out of the entire House membership. 18. Now that's insanity. But that's pretty much what we have now, and that's why it's just getting worse and worse and worse as far as everything with what's going on with the government, Dave.
Well, are we surprised? But here's what I want to know. When you have something like Amin Patel holds a senior position in DHS, and he has Muslim Brotherhood ties, and I detail these. They're hypertext linked. They go right back to source material. In fact, let's go even one better. How about the president's half-brother, Malik Obama, who's the head of finance and weapons procurement for the Muslim Brotherhood, his half-brother? And he's never commented. He's never said anything like, you know what, I disavow my brother's actions. I love him. He's a family member. But you know what, I'm the president of the United States, and I'm here to protect our interest against people like the Muslim Brotherhood. He's never made a statement like that. Instead, it's Muslim, Muslim, Muslim love affair, and we're not allowed to talk about the ones that want to do us harm. I don't care about the people that want to come here and work hard. That doesn't bother me. But what bothers me is the ones that want to kill 14 people in San Bernardino. That's what I'm worried about. And then Loretta Lynch mob comes out the next day and says, you talk about this, you're going to go to jail, you journalist, you. And not one word, Ted, about the victims' families, about the victims, nothing about showing any remorse for the American loss of life, only about the rights of Muslim extremists not to be bashed by Americans who've been victimized.
Well, no, it's complete political correctness run amok. The same thing's happened in Germany and in Norway, you know, and in Sweden, and where all these rapes are taking place. The political correctness is so absolute now because of the controlling. We got to remember, when the people watch the TV set at night, they're told what to believe. They're in an alpha brainwave state. And they're told not to do this, not to do that, not to do this. And they're open to suggestions. It's almost like mass hypnosis. And they know that. And I'm going to be talking about that in detail with HARP and how they do that with low-frequency sound waves on Sunday night on my show, before your show. And we're going to go into detail on all of that because I've got a really good book that I just pulled up, and it's going to give me all the details on this research that's been done on this particular topic. But the sad part about it is nobody wants to talk about the brainwashing that's occurred, the fluoride that's destroying the mental capacity of people, lowering their IQ scores up to 20 points. They don't want to talk about about the statin drugs that turn their brains to mush and cause kidney failure. Nobody wants to talk about any of that stuff, because as long as people get their drugs from the government for free through Medicaid or Medicare, they're happy. And so that's the sad part about all of this, Dave. We've been completely drugged as a society, and we're basically now reaping the results of what we've been not taught in the school systems and all the drugs that we've been given. And all the people in the United States now are pretty much just content to sit there in their alpha brainwave state and not communicate with anybody and be in this zombie tonic condition. Number two lie. Anyone claiming that America's economy is decline is peddling fiction. I'm going to repeat that. Anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction. This is a number two lie from Breitbart, from Barack Obama's speech last night. He goes on to say, with that line, Obama took a shot at his would-be president, or would-be Democratic successors, as well as his Republican critics. But the truth is that despite the slow recovery, the slowest since World War II, labor force participation is the lowest it has been in decades. Wages are stagnant, household incomes have not recovered from the recession, and young people see a bleak future. I've got so many of my friends that have graduated from college. They're working low paid jobs now, Dave, with this huge student debt. It's really sad.
Well, Ted, I'll give you a stat on this. I was reading this recently, and the number stuck in my brain. There are 317,000 waiters and waitresses with college degrees. Now, listen, waiters and waitresses work very hard, and I respect them. But people don't go to college to become a waiter or waitress. I think we have somewhere over 150,000 are custodians. Same comment. It's an honorable profession, but people don't go to college to learn how to do that stuff. And it speaks to the desperate state that our economy is in.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, these students coming out with this $100,000 in student loans or $150,000 in student loans with these degrees that aren't marketable, they have no use for the degrees, that's all part of the government giant Ponzi scheme of putting people into debt they can't bankrupt and making them slaves for the rest of their life. And I've seen it over and over and over again. And I'm going to give some advice to the folks that are on your show that have kids that are starting college. If your child is not going to go and get a degree like an engineering or a nursing or medical degree or a degree as attorney or law or whatever, a professional degree they can be licensed with, there's absolutely no reason, or even a teacher, there's no reason for them to go to college. And the reason for that is these other types of degrees aren't marketable. I just have a man, I spoke with a good friend of mine today. His son went to college up in Pennsylvania. Gosh, it was over $100,000 for the tuition for 4 years. He's out selling advertising, driving door to door, doing cold calls. He's lost like four jobs now in the last 5 months, bless his heart, and he has a college degree. And sadly, it was a complete and total waste of time for this kid. It's a total waste of time. And the reality is this. You come out of school with all of that student debt with no hope for a job that's going to ever help to pay that debt off. You'd be better to go to vocational school, learn how to do air conditioning repair. You can make really good money doing that. Learn how to start your own air conditioning company, or learn how to do electrical work or anything like that that's going to be kind of a recession-proof kind of thing. Even plumbing. Plumbers make a ton of money. You know, they're $40, $50, $60, $75 an hour now, and a lot of folks be better off being a plumber or being an electrician or being involved in these types of trades, which are great trades. I have a lot of friends who do these types of things, rather than going to college and running up a bunch of student debt. So if you're not going to get a professional degree, if you want to go to college, stay at home, go to junior college, get a job, pay your tuition, pay your books, or do dual enrollment in states that allow that, and start taking college classes in high school. That's what my kids have done. But stay away from the student loans. They're a pit that you don't want to go into, that you can't get out of, Dave. And that's my advice for college kids.
Well, we hear the music. We're going to step aside. I've got some comments on dual enrollment when we come back from the break and avoiding college loans. And we're talking to kindred spirits here. Stay tuned, everybody. Back in 2 and 2.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and to take advantage of this offer, just go to freefoldingknife.com. That's freefoldingknife.com, and you'll get this folding credit card knife for just one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally these are sold for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at freefoldingknife.com you can get one of these origami style folders folding credit card knives for just a penny. Limit one per order, please. So take advantage of it right now at freefoldingknife.com.
I've got my freefoldingknife.com. Mike sent me a gift package over the holidays, and it's the coolest thing. And look, you can't beat the price. So let him know you're listening. Give him a call. Tell him Dave Hodges sent you, and grab that from him. I mean, it's just terrific. Again, I want to remind everybody, our two primary sponsors for the show, besides Mike Adams, are Steve Quayle with readymaderesources.com, 406-486-4842. I want you to call him tomorrow, talk about your needs with regard to converting your cash into hard precious metals. And Steve likes to say, if you can't touch it, it's not real. And he's absolutely right. And of course, Bob Griswold at readymaderesources.com for all your survival needs. And there's a reason why we advertise with the advertisers we do. They're offering our public, our listeners, my website readers, offering people stuff they need if the proverbial poop hits the fan. And all the indicators, as you hear from Ted, when we talk about how Obama's lying about the real state of the union, all the indicators are, folks, is we are headed for the cliff. Some of us will get through this just fine because we're prepared, and some of us are going to be lost. And we're trying to reach out to the people to try to minimize the damage. And that's really what I feel is our Christian duty, is we're supposed to help those in need. But once the crash starts, we're going to be pretty powerless to help anybody. Ted, you had mentioned something going into the break where you said your kids had done dual enrollment. Yeah, my son's a freshman in high school now, and those of you who've listened to me for a long time go, wow, time flies, right? I remember when he was a little kid and he had him on the air one time to talk about reading the Hunger Games trilogy many years ago. But yeah, he's a freshman in high school, doing great, and he's taking his first dual enrollment classes next year. And I've told him real clear, uncertain terms, and this is a young man I'm lucky enough to be very close with. We have a great father-son relationship. And I said, son, I'll pay for all your dual enrollment. I want you to take as much as possible. But if you don't have a career path, identified career path with an area of study at post-secondary education, I'm not paying for it. I said, we're not paying for music, art, and so forth. And he's quite the musician. He's very talented. But I told him, I said, that's something you got to do on your own. That's your secondary interest. I said, let's get something you can make money with, first of all. And he understands. And then I've also told him, those things called college student loans you see advertised? He goes, yeah. I said, that will never come into the Hodges household. It wrecks lives, Ted. It wrecks family budgets. It sets people back decades with a tremendous debt that they acquire.
Well, no, you're right, Dave. And if you ever miss the loans, you stop taking college and the loans payments kick in, and you ever miss a few of the loans, it kicks up to the maximum interest rate, which makes it impossible to pay back. I had a lady come by the other day who works as a counselor at one of the universities here in town, and she told me that she has a friend of hers that basically makes like $28,000 a year, and her student loans are like $125,000. So we figure, let's do the math. $28,000 a year, you're going to pay about $4,000 or $5,000 in income tax, Social Security, bring home $22,000 a year, $500 a week. Bringing home $2,000 a month. You got a $500 a month house payment, $500 a month car payment, $500 a month for food. You got $500 a month to live on and pay all the rest of your bills. You have no money for student loans. There's no way. It's impossible to pay back this $125,000. It's not going to happen. Now, Harrison, my 16, he'll be 17 year old in April, he started his dual enrollment as a sophomore, and he started taking 9 hours a semester, and he immediately moved up to 12 hours a semester. And now he's a junior, and now he has 42 completed collegiate hours with a 4.0 GPA. Yeah. And he basically has he's taking 16 hours this semester. So by the end of his junior year in high school, he'll have almost 60 hours, which will almost be enough to have he'll almost be completed with his AA degree. He has another full year in his senior year in high school in the collegiate high school program, in which by the end of his collegiate high school program, he'll have 102 to 106 hours done. He'll be 14 hours away from getting his bachelor's degree. Now, let me give you some more advice. It doesn't matter where you get your bachelor's degree, as long as the school that you're going to is fully accredited. That's why I like state universities, because the tuition's so low on these guys. If then what matters is where you go to graduate school. And I told him the same thing. He wants to go to law school when he's like 19, 20 years of age, when he gets out of high school and in college. And I said, that'll be fine. And I said, I'll pay your way through law school. And I said, then you're on your own. He goes, well, Dad, I really like, piano, and he's really a good musician. And I said, Harrison, I don't care if you get a PhD in music. I don't care. After you get your law degree, after you build a base that you can work off of and be practicing as an attorney or be a corporate attorney or whatever you want to be, if you want to go back and get an additional PhD and then go and teach college for the rest of your life, I'm okay with that too. Be a university professor. I said, but get your Juris Doctorate done first, then get another doctorate and be finished with this whole thing. But you've got to be in a situation in which you produce enough income to support you and your family, and you have to get the right degrees to do that, Dave.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think, Ted, we were raised by the same man. Because I could take what you're saying word for word, and my boy has had that drilled into his head over and over and over. And it's really the way to go. And I've told him, I said, I'll find a way to pay for all this.
That's right.
And it's kind of like our business here, too. I want to talk about this. Do I make any income off what I do? Some. I pay for my expenses, essentially, when I work in the independent media. I have other income. I don't need this to make money. And that's the other thing, Ted, I was talking about. There are some people who are honorable, who make money in this profession, and this is their sole income. But I also think there's a danger there, too, in that people can really push themselves to make more and more money, and then sometimes they cross boundaries. And that's something that I... Have you seen that too, Ted?
I know people in the alternative media that have basically sold their souls, and they do whatever they're told to do, and I think they're co-pro, Intel Pro. How do you pronounce that, Dave?
COINTELPRO, yep.
COINTELPRO, and I believe that they're paid disinformation agents, and it's sad because, you know, there are a lot of good people out there that don't mean to be that way, but they started off being right and being sincere, and for various reasons they've been bought. Now, the third lie for Obama, according to Breitbart, is that's what the Affordable Care Act is all about. It's about filling the gaps in employer-based care so that when we lose a job or go back to school or start a business, we're still covered with health insurance. This is a cruel joke, given that Obamacare canceled insurance coverage for millions of Americans who did not change jobs. It also raised deductibles and premiums so high that many insurance companies are leaving the Obama exchanges totally. The Obamacare is just a nightmare. I mean, that's what it is, Dave. Go ahead. What do you comment on this? I mean, if I start talking about this, I'm just going to get mad.
Well, I get mad, too. I mean, when Obama was running for office, what he said made sense. He said there are 50 million people without health care insurance. True statement. He said there are approximately 18,000 people that die every year because they don't have health care. I remember his statements like they were yesterday. And I said, you know, that resonates with me. I don't know that I like his socialist background, because I was aware of Acorn and all this stuff when he was running, and Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn and that connection with the Weatherman Underground. But I said, I agree with him on this. And he said what he wanted to do was not mess with anyone else's insurance. He just wanted to make it possible for us maybe to pay a little bit collectively, so people in the 50 million aren't going to die because they can't see a doctor because they don't have insurance. And I said, you know what? I can live with that if that's as far as it goes. Well, that's not as far as it went. It turned into a totalitarian mess. And I see Obamacare wrecking regular health care. It's so bad that my private physician told me not too long ago he's thinking about quitting medicine and going to tend bar up in Breckenridge, Colorado, which is a ski resort. That's how mad he is.
I'm sorry to laugh about that, Dave. You can always, but a bartender medical doctor, I'd love that. He'd probably save more lives talking to him than he would giving him drugs.
My doctor's great personality. He's been a team doctor for pro sports teams, Division I universities. He's a wonderful guy, and we share the commonality of sports. I love the man dearly. And to hear, I told him, I said, the day you leave, man, I said, I'm going to feel abandoned like I got a divorce. But he's serious. And there are a lot of doctors who are serious. I went and saw a specialist not too long ago. She goes, I'm quitting. And I said, why are you quitting? Obamacare. A lot of them are leaving.
Well, let's go. And remember, the Obamacare was written by the insurance companies to basically make more money for those guys and for more greed. And if you look at the interlocking corporate directorships and all of these insurance companies, Dave, and how they're being controlled through the media, through the drug reps, the drug companies, it's all about the Rothschild dominance of the stock market and buying these corporations through their interlocking corporate directorships. That's all it's about. I like number four. This is what Breitbart says. This is another one of Obama's lies. And well, this one's not 100% a lie, but this is partially. It's a misrepresentation is what it is. Food stamp recipients didn't cause the financial crisis. Recklessness on Wall Street did. Actually, food stamp recipients, metaphorically speaking, were indirectly responsible as well Wall Street sharks. Obama leaves out the government's role under the Community Reinvestment Act in pushing mortgages on people who could not afford them and in backing the derivatives based on those mortgages that ultimately burst the whole bubble. So here's my take on this. The biggest problem that we have with all of this is that the food stamp recipients are always going to be there. The Bible says that the poor shall always be among you. There are people out there for various reasons, because they're infirmed, because they're old, because they're just not real bright. They really can't make enough money to pay for food or housing or anything else. They'll always be with us. I'm okay with supporting those people. The Bible tells us that we need to take care of people as long as they're trying. The biggest problem is this. Obama slams Wall Street. Wall Street is being run by the Bilderberger Group, which is almost all the major corporations in Wall Street. They're the ones that put him in the office, and now he's turning around and pretending like he's biting the hand that feeding him. It's a complete and total lie. It is complete obfuscation. They're the people that put him in the White House, and he's doing this to pander to the Democratic base, saying, hey, it's the big bad bankers that are doing all of this. Hey, it's the big bad bankers that put Barack Obama into power, Dave.
Well, you know, no one ever accused Obama of being overly truthful. Do you think he'll ever leave office, truthfully?
Well, you know, we said the same thing with Bill Clinton. I remember, yes. I think it was Dan Rather. He said that they expected him to leave, you know, fingernail marks, as he was, you know, Clinton, when he was getting pulled out of the White House, kicking and screaming, that he'd leave fingernail claw marks into the tile and the marble in the White House. I don't know. I mean, we hear this all the time when these Democrats get in. We heard it with George W. too. I don't think he's going to do that, Dave. I think he's going to leave office, because they know if they left him in there right now, that there's enough people that are so incredibly, excuse my language, pissed off right now about what's going on, it could cause a civil war. And I believe that. I believe there's enough people that are angry enough that march on Washington, D.C., and of course they'd be strafed with bombers and killed and all that kind of stuff because of the vast weaponry our military has. But the sad part about all of this is I don't think they want to do that. They're more subtle than this. Remember, these are like demonic people that do all of this stuff. They're like the weirdos. They believe they're from the benign Nephilim. They trace themselves back to the spawn of Satan, all the way back to the Tower of Babel and Nimrod. And if you don't believe that, start doing some research and you'll find that's true. But the nuttiest part about all of this is that they don't have 20 and 30 year plans. They've got 50 year, 100 year, 200 year plans. This is what they do. And I don't think it would be in their best interest right now to allow this tin horn dictator, which is what he is, to stay in the White House. He's done enough damage for what he's already done. Let's bring in somebody else to continue with the obfuscation.
Yeah, I agree. Come out of office. I agree. I look at it this way. Obama was the starting pitcher and Hillary Clinton is the closer.
God help us not. God help us.
You know what? She's my worst nightmare. People have asked me if I was going to expatriate under what's going on, and because, you know, people take shots at us and so forth. And I said no. But I have to tell you, if Hillary gets to be president, I would have to seriously look at that as an option.
Well, no, I don't know what to do with Hillary. Number five on Breitbart's list, he goes, he says.
Ed, we're going to have to hold that there. We don't have time to do five because we're going to be out in 30. And I want to do you justice, my friend. Please give out your website in 30 seconds and tell people again how they can listen to your show, as if they don't know.
Healthmasters.com. We come on the hour before, and also on Sunday night, the hour before Dave. So you guys call, go to our website, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. That's 1-800-726-1834. Get on our newsletter mailing list. It's totally free, and we send you all the latest health updates on an ongoing basis. And we tell you natural ways to feel great, to look great every single day of your life. And Dave, thanks for having me on.
Ed, you're always a pleasure, my friend. I'm proud to call you a friend and a colleague. And we're going to do this again. To everybody else, hey, thanks for joining us today. And we hope you sincerely go out and have a great day. God bless everybody.